speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all of your anxiety upon Him, for He careth for you." I don't know of any verses that bring out meaning any more than Peter's latter teaching. You know, Peter's the one who denied the Lord as he was sitting around the fire with the enemies of the Lord at his trial. And when Jesus looked upon him, Peter remembered his words, that he would deny him thrice when before the cock crew that night. And Peter did. And because of that, he went out and wept bitterly because he had denied the Lord. But Peter came back strong. Peter preached the first gospel sermon to the Jews. He preached the first gospel sermon to the Gentiles. And he wrote 1 and 2 Peter, which are a strength to all Christians. And here he says, "Casting all your care upon Him, He careth for you." I think that would be our thought for today. He careth for you. What does he mean when he says, "Casting all your cares on Him"? Well, he's talking about your anxieties. And he's talking about your worries. And he's talking about those things of care that God knows, God cares, and God extends to you His strength and His help throughout all of these difficulties if you will accept that. He wants us to know that we're not alone, that we are laboring with that One who is able to do everything above what we think. And He is able, as long as His will dwells in us, to give us the strength to overcome. Another verse of Scripture I think that's important is Romans 14:17. "The kingdom of heaven is not eating and drinking, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Righteousness here brings to mind forgiveness. It's talking about the redemption that is in Christ. And so in the kingdom, we're not just there to eat and drink, but forgiveness is there. And then, of course, peace because of reconciliation. Reconciliation means making friends again. And that's what we do with God when we obey the gospel. We come to a meeting of the minds, His mind and our mind. And we submit ourselves to His rule because He is our Creator. He knows the better for us. And so here's righteousness and peace by reconciliation and joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy is happiness. And joy in the Holy Spirit should not be thought of something as mysterious, superstitious, something that's out there floating around. Joy in the teaching of the Spirit is what he's talking about. And we should have joy in that at all times. Paul said in the Philippian letter, "Rejoice." And again I say, rejoice. And let your observance be known by all men in this. And these things we find happiness in. Again, in Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12, our Lord gave the Beatitudes. And he sat down as the multitudes are gathered around him on the mountain. And he began to say, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are they that have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall reproach you and persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets that were before you." Now these are all blessings. They're beatitudes. They're the ways of happiness. And when we find these, they, of course, are highly important to us. Those that are poor in spirit realize their poverty and their dependence upon God for guidance through the truth. Those who are people who are mourning over their sins are those who will be comforted in the forgiveness of their sins. Those who are meek are those who have everything under control. And they are not those who simply fly out on the handle, but they shall inherit the earth by their teaching. And those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, well, they are those who are strong in declaring God's will. They hunger and thirst after those things that God has commanded. They will be filled. They will not lack for the teaching of the Word of God. The merciful to others shall also obtain mercy for themselves. And the pure in heart, those who are single-minded in looking for God, they shall see God. If you really desire to find Him, He's there. And the Word of God declares it. The psalmist said, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. And then blessed are the peacemakers. Those are those who seek reconciliation. They make peace with God through obedience to the gospel. They are called the children of God. And then when we're persecuted for righteousness' sake, He said, Blessed or happy are ye, for great is your reward in heaven. So all of these things are pointing to one thing, and that's happiness. And we're looking for that, are we not? We're looking for happiness. We're looking for that which brings happiness. In John 10 and verse 10, He said, The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I'm come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. So Jesus has come to give us life. He's come to give us that which is rich and meaningful in life. And we can have it if we'll take it. It is there for the taking. But it must be taken. It must be that which man desires. So let me ask you this morning, do you want to be happy? Then follow the divine formula. Wouldn't that be the answer? And what is the divine formula? Well, we'll be studying it throughout the day today. Where is happiness found? I know one thing. It's not found in unbelief. There are many in the world who are unbelievers, but they are the most unhappy people you've ever found. When you look at Voltaire's statement a few years ago, he was, of course, one of the greatest of infidels, one of the most pronounced type of infidels, and he wrote this, I wish I had never been born. You talk about defeatist attitude. This is certainly it, isn't it? I wish I'd have never been born. My, what a defeatist way to look at life. But he was one who was an infidel. He didn't believe in the Lord. But happiness is not found in pleasure either. There are those who work all their lives just to see how much pleasure they can have. Lord Byron lived a life of pleasure, if anyone ever did. And you know what he wrote toward the end of his life? He said, The worm, the canker, and grief are mine alone. Poor look at life, wasn't it? No happiness there. Well, what about in money? Could we find happiness there? Jay Gould, who perhaps had as much or more money than any man in the world at the time he lived, when he was dying, he said, I suppose I'm the most miserable man on earth. Well, if money would have made anybody happy, Jay Gould would have been the happiest man around. What about possession of fame? Reckon that will make a man happy? A lot of people think it will. If they could just be known by everybody and be popular, they would be very happy. But you know that's not really where happiness lays. Lord Beaconsfield, he enjoyed more than his share of both possessions and fame, and yet he said, Youth is a mistake, manhood is a struggle, and old age is a regret. Well, how sad. If I had no more in life to see than this, I would be depressed too, wouldn't you? How sad to see this type of thinking. Youth is a mistake. No, it's not. Manhood, he said, is a struggle. Well, that may be true to some degree. But then old age, he said, is a regret. Not if you serve God, it's not. The Beatitudes in Matthew 5 will show you ways to overcome this. But what about military glory? My, if some people could have military glory, they think they would be most happy. That would be where happiness is the source. It would be in military glory. Well, you remember Alexander the Great, don't you? Alexander the Great sat in his tent and wept. And he said, there are no more nations to conquer. There are no more worlds to gain. And he wept because of that. And he died in a drunken death because he couldn't find any more to conquer. If military glory had made anybody happy, it certainly made him happy because he conquered everything there was to conquer. Well, what then is the answer? What is the answer for happiness? Have you found it? I imagine you've already decided what it is. It is to be in Christ, of course. In John 16:22, our Lord made some statements there. He said, You now therefore have sorrow. You now have sorrow. He just told them He was going away. And they hated to lose their master. But He said, I'll see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Now that's real happiness. When you have joy that no man can remove from you, that's happiness all men need. You know, we can become so busy and ensnared with the cares of this life that we forget what it's like to be happy sometime, don't we? And in this life, many forget the Lord, and that's where their happiness would lie. But they've forgotten Him, so they've lost their happiness. They don't know where it went to because they've forgotten how much the Lord has meant to them. He's the one from whom all of our strength and blessings come. He's the one in whom we live and move and have our very being. But if our relationship with Him has grown cold, it's not because He's moved. It's because we've moved. And you know, my friends, who can know our needs better than God? He's everywhere. He is at all times knowing what's happening in our lives, and with His help, we're able to live one day at a time. He came, He said in John 10, as we read a moment ago, that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. But today, though the past is lost and the future is dim, today is real. And if you're living one day at a time, that's all that really matters, you know. Because this 24 hours that we have today is a gift from God. And if we use this 24 hours right today, we have a gift that is beyond measure. And we can make it either worthless or we can make it valuable. It all depends on how we use it, doesn't it? But living one day at a time at our best will make the whole of lifetime our best. Because every day will be full. Every day will be filled. And every day will not be in sorrow. It will not be in depression. But it will be filled. We need to pray to God for the strength to live this moment that we're in. In the worship unto God. And remember how richly blessed we are to have those about us who are brethren in Christ, who love the same cause, who walk in the same way. And we need to pray to Him for strength that each moment and each day may be lived to His glory and to His honor. And you know, that habit will make our life secure, won't it? Now, casting all your care on Him because He careth for you is very important then, isn't it? You know, every book in the New Testament except 1 John mentions the peace of God. And therefore, the peace of God is very important. And the Bible makes it very clear that God wants us to be happy. He wants us to have the joys and the blessings that ought to come to us. And if we are walking in His will, we have no doubt that we will be happy. My wife's brother used to say some people wouldn't be happy if you hung him with a brand new rope. And I think probably that's true. I don't think there's some people you can make happy. One of the elders of the church in Tupelo, we were having a meeting one night, and he said, you know, you can't make that man mad. I said, you can't make him mad? He said, no, he stays mad all the time. And you know, there's some people like that. There's some who don't intend to be happy. They intend to be down in the mouth, and they intend to be the wrong way on nearly everything. Now, we're dealing today with real life problems, and I don't make fun of anyone for the difficulties that they have in life. But I know one thing for sure, emotional stress is one of the most harmful things that you have in life. And that's the reason these verses we've been reading are so important, casting all your care on Him. He careth for you. Because this emotional stress is the most common form of human suffering today. We've been called the 3D age, did you know that? Depression, despair, and also discouragement. We are the 3D age. And it appears that there are many people who have some form or another of frustration or depression, or they have fear, or they have worry, doubt, or insecurity. There's a high percentage of suicides among our young people simply because of these things. They have discouragement, they have fear, they feel insecure, they don't know what's coming tomorrow, and because of that, they waver in their situations of life. They're not sure of themselves because they're not sure of the Lord. But when they're sure of the Lord, they don't have that problem. It is not that which causes them that difficulty, because they have faith, and they put that faith on that solid rock, and it stands when they stand on it. It doesn't shake them or anything else. But you know, where one person today is suffering from TB or cancer, there are hundreds of people, thousands of people that are suffering from various kinds of emotional distress. They're under this stress and tension all of the time, and of course, to some degree, and sometimes every person has some of this. I know that's true. I know that these things come to us at all ages, at all races, and basically in all climes of life, in all economic levels, there's some stress, isn't it? But basically, stress that is spent doing God's will and carrying out those things that He has given for us to do, basically is a question, isn't it, of whether you handle your stress or whether it handles you. And you have to look at this very clearly. You know, there are more tranquilizers in our world today than there's ever been. There's more liquor being sold over the counters. There are more drugs that are being dispensed. There's more sleeping pills and illegal drugs. And they testify to one thing, and that's our anxiety and our stress. And we're not listening to that verse. that says, cast all of your cares upon Him. He careth for you. Somebody said, I just can't do that. It's a command, friend. And we need to learn to do it if we haven't already learned to do it. Now, I know life is not easy. I'm not saying that. I know there are valleys that everybody goes through. I know there are peaks that each of us reach. I know there's some sunshine, and I know there's some rain, and I know that there's some deep things for us to go through, good days and bad days. But the problem is, don't get in the valley and stay there. When you find yourself in the valley, get up and get out of it. If you let yourself stay there, you'll find yourself in mental problems. Yes, it will affect you. You know, it is said that in Davidson County, there are more members of the Church of Christ in the asylums than anybody else. You know why? Because there are more members of the church in Davidson County than any other religion. But there are many of them there because they got in the valley and they stayed there. Now, life can't be lived apart from concern to some degree. I know that. I realize the fact that we have to take care of our families, we have to take care of our jobs, we have to take care of our food. But however, it's easy to allow legitimate concern to be illegitimate worry, isn't it? Now, that's where we miss it if we let it slip into that worry, and that's what's going to bog us down. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, in nothing be anxious, that's worried. In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth understanding shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. So there's the answer, isn't it? In nothing be anxious. Yes, don't let legitimate concern become illegitimate worry. In nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer, that's spreading our needs before God. Supplication is asking Him to supply our needs. With thanksgiving, we've always got so much to be thankful for, do we not? And really, that's the reason for stress, is when we forget to be thankful for what we have. But he said, with that, the peace of God will rule your hearts. The peace of God will surround you like a soldier's army around you, so to guard you. And it'll guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Now, Christians aren't exempt from adversity. I know that. But let me say again, don't allow yourself to get stuck in that valley. Don't allow yourself to have legitimate concern become illegitimate worry. And then don't let your forethoughts become fear thoughts. You know, sometimes we worry about everything except what happened. And usually the things that we worry about that's going to come tomorrow never come. And so we've wasted a lot of energy, we've wasted a lot of time, and we have that which is called anxiety. You know, that's an unpleasant mood of tension. It's an unpleasant mood of apprehension, and it's fear's first cousin. When you have anxiety, you're right on the border of fear. You're worried, you're concerned, you're fearing, you don't know what's coming. And, of course, like fear, it has some very prominent bodily effects upon us. You know, fear and anxiety is something that will cause you great trouble. It's not what you always eat that bothers you, but it's what eats you. And that's what this anxiety is. And the effects of this emotional stress on us, of course, and anxiety, there's certain effects upon the body. Now, the psalmist said we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and that's true. In fact, it amazes us how wonderfully made we are. But I know that some physical disorders caused and aggravated by emotional processes can cause you to be sick. And although it's psychosomatic, you're still feeling that and you're still sick in many ways. You're sick because you can worry yourself sick. You know, that's certainly true. And we don't want to do that. God doesn't want us to do that. One physician who was citing what anxiety can do to the body, he said anxiety can do some powerful things to the body. It can increase the blood pressure. It can increase the heartbeat, the respiratory rate. It can disturb the digestive process. All these things are changed by worry and anxiety. And these changes, if continued, are such as to make one ill. Another man said, Dr. S.I. McMillan, in his book, None of These Diseases, page 90, he said, unusual fatigue and hives and edema and high blood pressure result from worry and emotional stress. Well, these sicknesses and these pains are real, although oftentimes they come from up here. They come because a man doesn't handle the stress that he's in. And when he doesn't handle it, then it takes over and it makes his body sick. Another doctor observed that incidents of stomach ulcers go up and down like the stock market. Could be true. Dr. Alex Carroll said, men who don't know how to overcome fear and worry die young. And it's true. And another said worry's been called that sexton that digs an untimely grave. Now, it affects your body. But it not only affects your body, my friends, it'll affect your mind. It'll make you where you can't think clearly. It'll become such a burden to you that you can't think through things as you should, and that pulls you down even further. So when you think about that, we have to be able to think to serve God, don't we? Keep thy mind or thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And he said, that man who doesn't do that is going to be in trouble, isn't he? Keep your heart with all diligence. And so we need to be very careful. Psychiatry and psychology are flourishing these days because we've got so many people under stress and because worry and fear and doubt have just about taken over their lives. And that mental tension has caused them great difficulty. Until it's released, it's going to maybe break them. You know, tremendous trouble and heartache are in a lot of people's lives. And it's so much that they need help carrying it. And, you know, a violin string can only be tightened so tight and it's going to break. And it's the same way with us, with the emotions and the mind of man. We have to have some escape. And, you know, people who don't know the Lord, who don't have the Bible to direct their path, they break. That's what happens. Now, I've heard people say, oh, Christianity will drive you crazy. It won't do it. I've heard people say, oh, reading the Bible just drove him up the wall. It never did. That's not it. It's that man who didn't believe it enough to follow it, and the stress and the difficulties that weighed down upon him is what causes emotional problems. But you know, not only is emotional stress hurting the body, it'll affect your appearance. Prolonged worry and stress will dig some deep crevices in your face. And they will itch these impressions on your countenance. A little girl asked her mother one day, Mother, are you happy? And mother said, why, yes. Why did you ask? She said, well, you haven't told your face yet. And you know what? Some of us haven't told our face yet. We're happy. And so because of that, it could be that we'll destroy the beauty of our countenance even and the goodness of our mind as well as the strength of our body. So you can see how important this is. When the Lord says, cast all of your cares upon Him, He careth for you. And He does. And what can you change, friend? You can't change your stature. You can't change your situation except in the doing of your best. And when you've done your best, what else is there to do except put your trust in the Lord? I read one time a fellow said, I'm just fine. I'm doing just fine. He said, there's nothing whatever the matter with me. I'm just as healthy as I can be. Oh, I have neuritis in both my knees, and when I talk with a wheeze, and my pulse is weak, my blood is thin, but I'm awfully well for the shape I'm in. He said, arch supports I have for my feet, or I wouldn't be able to walk down the street. Sleep has denied me night after night, and every morning I'm afraid. My memory's failing, my heart's a spin, I'm practically living on aspirin, but I'm awfully well for the shape I'm in. The moral is, as the tale I unfold, for you and me who are growing old, it's better to say I'm fine with a grin than to let people know the real shape you're in. But you know what? With the Lord's help, we can be in better shape, can't we? We can cast our cares upon Him. We can become His child. We can let His will be our will. And we know for sure that His will is superior to our will. Know you not that to whom you present yourselves as servants unto obedience, His servants ye are whom ye obey. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness, but God be thanked that whereas you were the servants of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you, and being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now that's where peace is. That's where happiness is, to be a servant of righteousness. And if every day you make that the goal of your life, you'll be surprised how your burdens will be lightened and your happiness will be greater. If you're in this audience this morning and not a Christian, hear His Word. That's the only direction you have that's good. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess the name of Christ. Be buried with your Lord in baptism to wash away your sins. That's the way you become a Christian. And if you've been a Christian, but you've turned aside from living the Christian life, you've brought reproach upon the body of Christ. That public reproach must publicly be repented of. Anytime we have wounded the cause, it is our duty to return and make that thing right. So if you're here this morning and we need to pray with you about those things, we stand ready to do so. And the Lord wants you to come. Will you do it? While together we stand and while we stand.